You're listening to Living in Alignment podcast, the show that brings you deep and conscious conversations to live and grow in rhythm to your natural state. I'm your host, Rada Khalifi. We all have different parts inside of us. This is perfectly normal, not psychotic. There are no bad parts, from exiles to protectors to managers or firefighters. But our relationship with some parts is often better than others. And a wonderful path to healing and growth is to repair our relationship with all of our parts. In today's episode, we are going to explore the wonderful path of the internal family system with guest expert Jennifer Patterson. Jennifer will give us a quick introduction to basic internal family system concepts and what's it like to experience different parts of us and practice internal family system for healing and restoring wholeness. Jennifer is an internal family systems practitioner, a PhD biologist, and a co-parent to a lovely growing teen. She's committed to helping people find both self-compassion and healing within themselves and to spreading that self-compassion and healing power to others. Thank you for being here with us today. Grab a glass of water and I'll be right back with Jen. Show, Jen. I'm really pleased to have you with us today and really tap into the internal family system model. So tell us about the origin story of internal family system and what led you to integrate into your life, into your work.
Sure. And thank you also for having me. I'm really honored to be here. So Dick Schwartz is the therapist who kind of found this model, and he tells the story often. So I'm happy to relay that story because that's kind of like an origin story of IFS. He had just finished graduate school, if I'm getting the timing right, in family systems therapy. And he had a group of young women with eating disorders who he was conducting, and it's kind of a trial with of this method. And he always says at the end, they didn't know they were healed. So that's a little jab at his experiment, his work not working in this case. And as he was talking with them, they started talking about the part of me that binges and the part of me that purges and the part of me that shames me after this. And he at first was very worried that they all had, you know, dissociative identity disorder. And then he realized he has these parts too, not those particular parts, but it was a very eye-opening moment. And the other story that he tells, which is really enlightening for how this works, is he was working with a young woman who would cut herself. And he knew by now about parts, and he had this person, you know, going back and forth with all these chairs. We don't do that anymore. But she would talk from the part of her that would cut herself. And what they did was they kind of beat up on this part and made her promise that the part of her that cut herself wouldn't do that again. They just made her promise. And the next time she comes for a session, she has this big gash across her face. And Dick Schwartz says, well, I can't beat you on this. And that part says, I don't want to beat you. What I do, they found, was when this young woman was a very young girl, she was sexually abused. And this was one of the methods that would just take her out of the situation. And so they realized, oh, this is actually a good part. It's just a bad tool. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that was realized was that this part of her is stuck in time, because this wasn't happening anymore. And that's what happens to us, right? We come up, we're in this situation, not always that obviously traumatic, but something with shame. And we say, I'm never going to feel this way again. So I'm going to do X. And then X keeps doing it, even after that situation changes.
Yeah.
The kind of framework of personality is that we're all born with parts. Parts are completely normal. Mm-hmm. We can have no trauma, be securely attached, and we still have a part that likes to paint and a part that plays with puppies and a part that is very professional at a job interview. And that's totally normal. And even when we do have trauma, we still have parts that aren't traumatized. So we talk about the kind of parts we know, and we'll talk about these categories. You just mentioned the exiles and protectors. Those are basically the categories. But there's also not traumatized parts. So our parts that respond to trauma are in extreme roles. They've been made to be extreme by what's happened, but they were there to begin with.
Yeah.
That's why, that's what's so beautiful about it, is that they can heal from the extremeness, but we don't have to get rid of them. We say, oh, I don't like this about myself. We don't have to get rid of it.
Which brings us actually to explore this more. And for people who are not familiar with like what we're talking about, parts and protectors and trauma and all of that. So let's go through, walk us through a brief introduction of what would the session look like, or introduce us to those parts, all different kinds of parts of us.
Sure, sure. So when you're in session, the knowledge of the system and which parts are which and how we do the healing is completely not necessary, but it's super cool to talk about it. So I'm happy to describe that. Mm-hmm. Just to separate, like, here's a framework, here's a session. You don't need both of them. Yeah. But the framework is that when we're small, and of course trauma happens when we're adults and it works very similarly, but mostly we're working with childhood trauma. Something happens and there's a wound around shame. You know, I'm not worthy of love. I caused this thing that may not be true. You know, maybe parents are getting a divorce and we are naturally and normally narcissistic when we're little. Everything, we cause everything around us, right? Yeah. So of course we take on that burden of having caused this thing in that example. Yeah. So that part of us,
I just want to like highlight this, because that's like the part of, it's not necessarily something really happened. It's just how we perceive it, because we think it's always our fault as children.
Absolutely.
Like, we did something wrong that caused this. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I've even worked with people that were something, you know, with the little one is just confusing. Like, why did this happen? And clearly I caused it, but you know, something that's completely unfathomable, and that stays with us. So in this case, say that, that divorce, that little one is stuck there, and it's usually a moment. Let's say, you know, dad walks out and doesn't come home. And there's that moment when he's closing the door. And maybe I'm just totally making this up. In this instant, the child's old enough to realize didn't just go to the grocery store. Like, there's an abandonment moment. And so that part of us just stays there. I know that sounds a little crazy, but it's woo, but I find it over and over and over again. It's a real thing. And I always like to notice the parallels between IFS and shamanic healings. They talk about part of our soul will orbit around traumas. And so it's very similar. That's what's happening here, whatever that is. So at that same moment, another part of us is reacting to this absolute horror of being abandoned. And it says, well, I'm just going to numb out. I'm going to dissociate. And so that becomes just the default. Whenever this abandonment is triggered, we dissociate. And that just stays happening. So that would be the protector part. Yeah. And the exile is the little one. The reason we call it an exile is because that dissociation is not allowing the feelings of abandonment. Don't look don't notice that kid. Don't notice that pain. Don't look over here.
Yeah.
That's the don't see yourself. It's a self-abandonment, even though we're trying to help ourselves and the intention is good. Like, don't feel this pain. I don't want you to feel pain. You can't handle it. It's still a type of self-abandonment that we won't look at this little one. We won't let that little one have its feelings. It's too much.
Yeah.
And then and then within the protector category, we have two kinds, but they're both protectors. So we can talk about that as well.
Yeah. So there's a part that gets like perceived danger or something unpleasant or discomfort. And there's a part of us that, you know, comes out and wants to protect us from feeling hurt. And that become like a kind of mechanism, like a survival mechanism for us that shows up every time we feel triggered, like a form of abandonment, as you said. Like, so I'm not going to elaborate on this, but please go ahead and just explore more on that.
Sure. So there are manager parts of us that will do things all the time to keep from being triggered. Like, we don't want to get that little one activated. So we're just going to be perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Our perfectionist parts, our busy parts, our, you know, even lazy parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Achievers. But if you're like, if someone is chronically lazy, it could be the underlying, and this is all in the subconscious. Mm-hmm. We don't realize this is what's going on, but the subconscious might say, if I try, I'm going to fail. Therefore I'm not going to try. It's kind of an obvious explanation for that one, but that would be a manager part, how we would categorize that in the protector scheme, is keeping shame from being triggered. But of course those parts can't succeed at that all. They can't, we get triggered anyways. So then we have the reactions to already being triggered, and those we call our firefighter parts. It's as if there's a fire of shame, and those are the parts that come on board to put that fire out. And those, if you think about like the fire being like your house is on fire, it doesn't matter if the response is destructive because things are already on fire. So those parts tend to be rage, addiction, this kind of thing that is mm-hmm. damaging, but it's even scrolling. It can be shopping. It can be silent treatment to your partner. It's what happens when the shame is already triggered.
Yeah.
You know, it's similar. That's why we call both protectors. They're both dealing with either the potential of the pain of this little one or the actual pain of this little one. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of easiest way to categorize them is the manager side keeps it from ever even coming up. And the firefighter side reacts when it's already come up.
Yeah, yeah. So do you want to share, like, for our listeners, like, some more examples of how do we become, like, why do we become reactive when we are triggered and why sometimes we turn into, I know maybe this is a repeating question, but I think maybe we can give more examples to just make it more simple for the new listeners or the listeners who are new to this model.
Sure. I'll use myself. I had one. This will get into a little bit of what does a session look like, which we haven't got to yet. But I was working, you know, on myself with someone, and I had come with, we started with this feeling of being trapped by, you know, another person, not wanting to be in a situation where I'm, how do I kind of describe this? I feel like I've given someone permission that I haven't, you know, kind of a boundary problem. And so we sit with that feeling in my body, you know, what does that feel like? And we just work through how I feel about that feeling until I have space for it with some compassion. And it starts to, some people have very visual systems. I have a very visual system. And so I start to see this almost plexiglass cover over my face. And there's a monkey there holding it there and saying, you know, small breath, small breath. And I have a skeptical part, even though I do this work and I love this work. I still think, oh, this is ridiculous, right? This is just my brain firing. And I kept getting the word water. I didn't even want to say it out loud. Like, this is nonsense. But I said, okay, I'm getting the word water keeps coming up and I have no idea what that means. And of course, the person I'm working with is just, for me, leading, you know, helping me with the skepticism that's coming up and helping me with the water that's coming up. And so, and then bang, I get this memory. And that's often how it happens. Your mm-hmm. parts understand that, okay, there's help here. Let me reveal what's under this. And I got this memory of when I was very small, you know, in diapers type of small, but walking, my dad throwing me into the swimming pool, you know, without swimmies or whatever mm-hmm. on. And there were people there. I didn't drown. Obviously I'm here. I didn't drown, but there's this moment of drowning, right? That's terrifying. And that was beneath this feeling of like, don't get into a situation of feeling like you're trapped. Cause if you do, it's going to feel like this.
Yes.
I never would have made that connection. I can't remember the last time I thought about that time. It just was gone from my memory, really. Not gone like it wasn't there, but gone like it wasn't in my
conscious. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not something that I think about. If someone said, tell me your list of traumas, it wouldn't have been on there. You know, I wouldn't have thought of it. So then what happens is we can, now I'm there. I'm not remembering it. It's a very different kind of experience of the memory. Mm-hmm. And I can get that little girl out of the situation, let her, help her let go of what she's feeling and kind of any burdens that she's carrying about that, like whatever it is, like the world is a dangerous place or whatever. I'm not worthy of X, Y, or Z. She can let those things go. We take on good qualities to replace that negative energy that was there. And then the part that's making me feel trapped in certain situations can look at that and say, huh, well, I guess I don't have to do this anymore. So it can be very, very transformative very quickly. And we don't have to willpower ourselves through it. We don't have to analyze, I wonder why I'm doing this, and figure that out. Because that keeps us out of our subconscious and out of our body.
So when you go and relive this experience or expose that trauma, for example, it's kind of like you're letting go that part of you, the protector or the manager part, to step aside, right? And yes, just to let, and what happens when they step aside? What emerges after that?
Yeah, so when we're in reactivity, we say that we're blended with a part. So if I'm angry at my spouse, I'm just angry at my spouse. And if you said, why don't you not feel that way for a second? Like, there's no, like, this is all I am. I am, there's no part here. I'm pissed off, period. So that's off. That's blended. Or if it's something like anxiety and you've been spiraling out for days, we'd say that's flooded. It's complete. That part is completely taken over. And before you have experience with this, for some people, it'll be intuitive and they realize it right away. Sometimes that's not the case. But once you realize, like, oh, sometimes I feel like I'm a little kid and I'm having a temper tantrum, and sometimes I don't feel that way, you can see, oh, this is when one part is in the driver's seat versus another part in the driver's seat. And then you can say, all right, I'm angry at my husband. Take a second. Where do I feel that in my body? Ah, it's in my chest. I want to, like, brr. Okay, can I get that to soften? Can I imagine this part of me sitting next to me in a chair? That's one way to kind of separate a little bit. Okay, I can do that. How do I feel toward that part of me? Like, oh, annoyed. Like, why is that part overreacting? So this, now I'm in a part that happens to have some annoyance. So I can get that part to soften. And if we can get all of our parts to soften and they're here with us, it just means that they're not kind of running the show right now. They're still in our body. They're still part of us.
Yeah.
But they're not driving the show.
Front seat. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not in the front seat. Then we all have this place of centered, connected, compassionate something. And in IFS, we call it the capital S self, or we say self energy, because all of our parts actually have access to self energy. Mm. I don't know what this is. So, you know, some people say it's akin to soul. Some people say it's, you know, something else, but I do know that it's there. And I know that when we get there, that we have love and compassion for all of our parts and everybody else's parts. And we can actually, that's where we have to be to get to that little one. And help, when I talked about getting her out of the pool and helping mm-hmm. her change that energy, if I was in a part, if I was, you know, had a part in the front seat saying, oh, this is a little scary, it's not going to work. We can go to her in that scared part. That's when we hear about people being re-traumatized. Re-traumatization happens when a part is experiencing what happened rather than this place that is self. So part of the job of the person that you're working with is to make sure you're where you should be when we're going to that little one. We have this core of energy that is healing and that doesn't have an agenda, that knows how to, it has the, you know, the clarity to know what this part or that part needs, but that gets covered up. Again, the more trauma there is, the deeper that gets buried and the harder it can be to get to it. but it's there. And there's, you know, decades of IFS work. There's been IFS work done in prisons, and everyone has this. It can feel like, oh, I don't have that. Like, I know I don't have that, but that's just parts in front. What can get confusing about this is we feel, we usually have a self-like manager part that's in that front seat often, and we'll feel like that's our self.
Yeah.
So self, and self is, my self is not different from yourself, but my self-like part is different from your self-like part. That's one way to kind of understand.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Can I repeat that? So the big self is not separate, right?
Right.
The parts of the self are different. Their performance are different. Jen, let's go back to to the self and see. And I'd like to talk about like what are the signs, like the symptoms that we experience that makes us want to take a look into the parts and see what's going on with our parts, mm-hmm. what needs to be healed, or need to go into a therapy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's always your evaluation of your life and how what you want rather than what someone else says should or shouldn't be the case, right? But some things that will lead people to this kind of work are just being stuck in patterns. You know, when we repeat patterns, I know I shouldn't be dating this kind of person, but I end up always dating this kind of person, or problems with addiction. I know, or even just how you're eating. Overeating or eating unhealthy things, and part of you doesn't want to, and you work really hard, you make a plan, you're going to stick to that plan. You mentioned really strong managers. Usually the stronger the manager we have, the stronger the firefighters we have. The firefighter and the manager are often, they hate each other, but they're protecting the same little one, you know? Yeah. So sometimes just getting them to realize that they actually have the same objective can soften some of the extremeness, even without unburdening. But so patterns like that, but also things like chronic pain. You know, if you break an arm, there's going to be pain for a physiological reason, but often there are these pains that come and stick with us that we can't really put a finger on, and doctors haven't really been able to put a finger on what's going on here. Often that's parts using our body to try to send messages. So we can have some luck there too as well, but relationship problems, kind of all the things that would send someone for any kind of therapy, you know, can come for this one too.
Yeah. So I know you mentioned, so after exposing, you know, the parts of ourselves and revealing the self, and I know we're just touching the base here. This is like really deep stuff. And, you know, we didn't even just, we're introducing to our listeners just the model here. But how does revealing the part, like, for example, we can share some of, you know, your own experience. How does it impact our well-being? And I know you mentioned specifically your parenting style, like the way you parent, your relationship with your son. So do you like to speak more about that?
Yeah, I have this wonderful example. It was sometime last year, my son came out of his room for breakfast, and he's not a morning person. So he's not chipper in the morning, but he's kind of just sleepy, normal self. But this particular morning, he comes out and he's slamming the door, you know, putting the chair lap, punching the table almost, just aggressive for no reason that I can see. And I noticed this reaction, of course, like I want to be angry. And then I have another part that says I should be angry. Mm-hmm. And so noticing those and saying, okay, like that makes sense, but we're going to please hang out and just let's see what happens here. And I can also notice his angry, but I'm noticing my reactive parts. Oh, I'm angry. I should be angry. And then he is angry. Okay. You know, those are just three parts that are here and I can observe them. Mm-hmm. And so I sat at the table and I didn't say anything. I just opened that space to welcome everything that was up for both of us. And he ate and he, you know, angrily went back into his room and I waited a little while, a few minutes. And then I went in there and I don't think I said anything at first. I'd like just laid on the floor and did the same thing. Just was present. And after a few minutes, he started saying how upset he was about the fact that he wasn't doing any learning and he wasn't eating well and he wasn't moving his body. And I felt so compassionate for what he was going through. You know, this was late-ish 2020. Mm-hmm. And so all those things were hard. And so if he had come out of that room angry and I had added, "What the hell is wrong with you?" to all these things he was already upset about at himself, that wouldn't have been terribly helpful. Instead, I could say, that makes so much sense. Do you want some, we can make some plans around these things. Do you want to do that? You know, and he said, yes. And that's what we did. And it was really lovely.
I love that. I love that. Just to be able, and that we can do it also to the parts of ourselves, right? When our parts start to emerge, the unhealthy ones, and in the case of your son, just being with those parts, it kind of gave the space to allow the self in you to emerge and really be compassionate and be of use to you, rather than, you know, putting your protectors and your firefighters on, you know, at work. Would you like to share other, I know our time is coming up, but is there anything else you would like to share as an experience where IFS was of huge impact for you?
Yeah, you know, I have so many that come from others that I don't feel comfortable at this point sharing because I haven't asked mm-hmm. most of them, or the ones I have are going out of my head. Did I ask about that? So I have to wait a second and think about it. For me, you know, again, and some people are like this, some people aren't. I have a lot of imagery. I have a lot of like forest type scenery, and I am a nature person, that kind of makes sense for me. Mm-hmm. But you know, when I've worked around food, and I've only done this with myself, I haven't done it with, you know, a therapist or a practitioner, but I know I have a little girl who I think is a protector because she doesn't look like me. It's not a memory. Mm-hmm. Around this big hole in the woods, and she just sits there, and I've been there with her, and we've planted flowers there, and we've done some really lovely work around that. But I haven't figured out what that's about. So part of the work is just seeing the landscape of your internal world, which is fascinating. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you learn that and say, okay, how is this impacting my life? And I can notice it on the day-to-day too. You know, I was in the grocery store the other day, and there was someone there selling a different, you know, internet service. And I just wanted a grocery shop. And I ended up allowing myself to be sucked in by this person. And I was really not wanting to be there. And yet I didn't walk away. And we got as far as he's writing down my information. And I said, literally, I just want to be shopping. I don't want to be having this conversation with you. I was saying out loud, this, I was completely blended with like a people pleasing, I have no control of my own life part. And this is actually was recent, and it's on my mind. Like I need to have a session around this. Yeah. Yeah. I did finally walk away because I went to my email. He was saying that his service was so much cheaper than mine. Oh, I'm familiar with what you have. I know. I was like, I don't remember what I'm paying. He said, oh, I know it. This is better. I finally found the information on my bill, and I showed it to him. I was like, it's exactly the same. And I walked away. But I allowed myself to not have any power of an adult to just walk away. And when I look back at it, when I said, I want to just be shopping, I don't want to be talking to you, I'm telling him that I'm waiting for him to allow me to go. And I've seen that pattern in my life in other situations. And I know that, I know there's something big there. So an interesting thing too, which this kind of reminds me of, is whoever you're working with, they do this work because they need to do the work, right? It's always a continual growth. And normally in my life now, I can find self-energy and I can unblend and I can, you know, have self-energy toward others, like that example with my son, but not always. You know, here was a situation where like, wow, I was completely blended with a helpless part. So that's one's like, okay, I need help with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, thank you for sharing this. And of course, you know, that brings us to check, like for our listeners to reflect on how where can they start if they experience something similar, like if they feel triggered or pulled into something that is not unhealthy for them, or recognize that this is a pattern and they need to address it. Where can they start? Where would you start with that, you know, challenge you had the other day?
Yeah. So for me, because I already have someone, I can go and do that work. Mm-hmm. So that's one option. You know, working with someone one-on-one is awesome. Mm-hmm. But if you don't want to do that, or you don't want to jump in, there's lots of books. There's a IFS Institute website with books. You can go to YouTube. And there are some meditations that you can find on YouTube that will help you sit in your body, recognize parts that come up, have a conversation with parts. And that alone is a really wonderful practice. Simply recognizing parts, having conversations with parts can be transformative. And if you then do some work with someone and kind of combine those practices, you can do a lot of this work on your own. Some people have wonderful luck doing this on their own, and some people really need a guide all the time. But you can definitely meet some parts and have conversations with your parts, learn things from some parts with meditations and things that you can find online and on YouTube.
Even
before having to go as far as, say, looking for a meditation, you can simply say, okay, I got invited to a party. Part of me wants to go. Part of me doesn't want to go. Like, okay, find that part, find that desire to go in your body. Because if you just take a second, you can usually find that. Find that desire to stay home in your body, you know, and that's a really tangible way to realize, like, these are separate things inside me. And you can use anything, like wanting to stay in bed longer, wanting to get up and do the cool thing.
Yeah, that would be a great start to just start recognizing those parts and be with them and start to identify them, actually. Mm-hmm. Oh, and also, which brings us actually to the end of our session here today, our recording. For people to find you, too, they have questions, they want to do the work with you, where can people find you on? Online.
Sure. I have an active Instagram page, which is at wholeness.uncovered. And there's a lot of information there. Send me a DM if you have questions, for sure. I am taking clients. All my website is wholenessuncovered.com. So they're the same, but the Instagram has a dot. Okay. The website does not.
Yeah.
So I do one-on-one work. I also have a group that I'm starting in October. It's open for, you know, people to sign up now, but we'll be doing some kind of like a once a week meeting that'll be recorded. Mm-hmm. One will be information on topics, things that people are struggle with. One will be a demo. You know, we'll do some work with someone. Mm-hmm. One will be kind of an activity, either a meditation, maybe some artwork, and we'll do like a question and answer. That's my thought for now. It's up to subject to change, but yeah.
And I'll make sure to have all this information under the show notes for sure. And I'm actually intrigued to learn more and more, Jen. So just before we sign off, what does living in alignment mean to you?
Yeah, that's such a great question. One of the things that has really stood out for me from doing this work is the expansiveness of us with everyone else. And where there's so much division, it makes it intuitive really to see that we are the same, even when we have completely different ideologies and, you know, whatever it is between me and someone else. When I know that inside me, I have extreme parts that are polarized, I know that this person that's extremely different from me, that person's parts have good intention for his system or hers, as do mine. And so this kind of integration of everyone in this circle around self, whatever that is really life-changing. That's what I would see as alignment.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much, Jen, really, for this conversation.
Thank you.
And I know we could have done like extended like more an hour, more than 1 hour to really tap deeper into the topic. Thank you for your expertise and for accepting my invitation. And I look forward to similar conversations in the future.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It was great.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got something interesting to share, tag us in a post on Instagram or comment below. Would love to hear about your takeaways. I'd be grateful if you head up to iTunes and give us a rating. Also, who do you know can benefit from today's episode? Pay it forward, share the link. Thanks for listening. This is Rada Khalifi signing off.